But also, but we are doing something new this time.
Yeah, around. We're recording in bed. Oh, not that.
Well, you're talking but about we are else. Also recording in bed.
It's Snuggle Podcasting. We're coming up with our
Snuggle own. Casting.
Snuggle Casting, yes. TM, you can't take that. Called that, you can't, like.
But you can't it. Take it.
Snuggle Casting.
Snuggle Casting.
Yep, we're recording from bed.
And I've got corgi slippers on.
That's amazing. I've been wearing the same pajamas for the last 3 days because it's New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not New Year's anymore when this comes out, but it's kind of close because
really
we were
close.
Really, really bad at getting together this time because there was like holiday after holiday after holiday.
Yes, I was running the gauntlet. We had 4 Christmases in a row. Michael called it our halfway to
Wasn't
Hanukkah.
Wasn't that a movie? Was
four,
it 4 Christmases?
It was it was probably a movie. It was probably 2 couples, and both of their parents are divorced, and they have to go through 4 Christmases.
God, and it was like probably like Reese Witherspoon and like.
Oh, it was Reese Witherspoon, I'm pretty sure. And what's the one guy who's.
Vince Vaughn or something?
Yeah. Yeah, so we did. We had to run a gauntlet. We did the 4 Christmases in a row, one of which was just me being like, we're not leaving the house today. We're going to spend our Christmas Eve together. Because it's our first Christmas Eve together as an engaged couple.
You know what? It was our first Christmas Eve as a family spending it at our house.
See?
So we baked cookies and, like, did that.
Do the family thing. It's mm-hmm. the nice thing.
Yeah. And then I had some health issues and stuff. So, but we're finally together and we're snuggling in bed.
Yeah, this is really good.
And we're eating, we are popcorn ears. What is
this? Popcorners?
Oh, popcorners. Yeah. Oh, I like popcorn ears better. Thanks, Costco.
Yeah, and I'm drinking Truly, which is a sparkling water alcoholic beverage.
Sounds gross, but delicious.
It's actually pretty good. It's only 100 calories, and it's not super sweet, which I've found that the more I cut sugar out of my diet, the more sweet everything tastes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, man, we jack everything up with sugar.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of sugar and everything.
Well, we should explain to them what we're actually doing, not sitting in bed, with the podcast.
Oh, well, by the way, the podcast that you're listening to right now is Revolution Rosies.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi, welcome to Revolution Rosies.
My name is Vivian Vega.
I'm Betty LaRue.
And what we're going to be doing, if you've been listening to it, it's been a longer podcast. We've been talking at you for about an hour or
about
an hour
episode,
and a half.
Yeah.
But we've decided instead to give you 2 shorter ones a month. So instead, we're going to be doing the first Sunday and the third Sunday of every month and give you a story a time. Mm-hmm. So one of us will go the first Sunday, one of us will go the third Sunday, and it looks like I'm the special one who gets to go the first Sunday.
Yes! We're gonna start recording you bite-sized episodes, stuff that's a little bit more digestible on your ride to work.
So probably 35, 45 minutes, depending on how cool the person is, I guess.
I mean, we are starting off with some pretty... Hefty
people.
The research I did on this one, guys, I'm going to try to keep it short, but I do have 5 pages.
I only have 3 pages, pretty large writing, but I talk a lot in between.
I do love that you have, like, bullet points. That's really...
Do you have a death in yours?
Oh, I don't have a death in mine.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, she's so clean.
I know.
Have you heard that, like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame... situation was just announced fairly recently, and they...
So I don't follow up that a lot.
Okay, so that's kind of my jam.
Yep.
So, I think 5 inductees, and there were some good ones, and there were some questionable ones, Def Leppard. Anyways, so there were, I think, maybe there were 6 inductees. Either way, 2 American artists, and the rest were all British artists. The 2 American artists were both women.
Oh, yeah.
Janet Jackson and Stevie Nicks.
Some rockin' ass women.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks was, I think I could totally be wrong about this, and I could have looked it up before, didn't. but I think she's the only woman that's been inducted, both with a band and solo.
That's really cool, though. I mean, that's very cool.
I'm fairly certain that that is true.
That's pretty badass.
I'm going to say it's true.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it's true.
And nobody's going to correct us.
I know, because no one emails us anymore.
Nobody's emailed us. Again, please do. And I wouldn't care if you emailed us to correct me.
We can definitely use corrections. Sometimes when we don't look stuff up, we just barrel into it.
I'm going to say it with confidence.
Right? We're going to say it so you believe us and neither one of us questions each other. So
the reason we're doing the people we're doing this month is because they are our doppelgangers.
Yes, it's doppelganger January.
So we picked them because we look like them.
Actually, we've gotten it our entire lives.
Our entire lives.
Yeah, which is funny because we look like each other, and I don't know that people really compare the two of them looks-wise. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, but not as much as they compare the two of us, yeah. Which is weird. But then when they see pictures of us compared to these people, they're like,
"That's that.
Holy shit.
Mine guys. Started when I was a child.
Mine did, too.
My, like, aunts would be like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
She looks like a little Babs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And as a matter of fact, so I guess I'll just go ahead and tell you. I'm doing Bette Midler. And my aunt actually had a dog named Bette Midler.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a little Shih Tzu, I do believe. Named Bette Midler, and it lived to be like 20. It was an old dog.
Wow.
Yeah. It stayed around for a long time. It was a little...
I have a story about an old dog in my person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So mine has a gruesome death, and yours has an old dog.
An old dog. It's interesting.
Cool.
Though. So go ahead.
Cool. We'll get to it.
We'll get there.
I can't wait. All right. So I'll go ahead and hop right in. I'll hula right in to Bette Midler.
That sounds funny.
I hulaed. You can't see it.
You can't see it. This is not a visual art, but you know.
But you saw
it. She looks great, guys. It's really quite beautiful and flowy.
It was great.
It was lovely. Mm.
So Bette Midler, my doppelganger, was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, December 1st, 1945.
That makes the luau stuff make sense now. Didn't know she was born in Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yes,
go ahead,
straight up. Yeah, she doesn't just like it. Yeah. She was born right in it. As a matter of fact, she took... I'll get there.
You'll get there. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. No, actually, I won't get there. She took hula dance lessons, and her hula teacher hated her. She said she was awful. She's like, oh, God, just stand in the back.
Just don't.
You're just really bad. I didn't put that part in, like, in my notes, but I read a bunch of books about her, and she remembered that fondly. Like, oh, my God.
She was like, oh, it hurt my heart.
My teacher fucking hated me. Which, by the way, I read a bunch of books about her, and I watched a bunch of things, and one of her books is called... A View from Abroad, and it's about one of her world tours, and it's fucking hilarious, and you should all read it.
She seems very funny.
It's...
Just like generally.
It's really, really, really funny. And it's got some great pictures. Anyways, so she was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, December 1st, 1945, to Fred Chesty, and his nickname was Chesty, and...
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. They did not have the best relationship, which is unfortunate, because Chesty could have come in handy for her as well.
Right?
And Ruth Midler. Her mom was obsessed with old Hollywood. Well, it wasn't old then. It was very new.
She was obsessed with Hollywood.
She was obsessed with Hollywood.
You know, or just
normal
Hollywood
at the time. And the movie stars of the time. So she named all of her daughters after movie stars.
Ooh.
The oldest sister... Susan, after Susan Hayward. Then came Judy, after Judy Garland.
Mama's gotta get a medicine.
And then Bette was named after Betty Davis, but her mom thought it was Bette and not Betty.
That's amazing. So it's not short for anything.
Nope.
It's just Bette.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
And it's supposed to be Betty, but...
Her mom was like...
She thought it was Bette.
I read it Bette. Uh-huh. It's Bette.
So, and then they eventually had a son after Bette, whom they named Daniel. I don't know why.
You don't have, there's no, like...
There's no story for Daniel.
There's no, like, Daniel movie guy.
So, she also claims that she got picked on a lot. I say claims, because she also says that she doesn't always tell the truth in her books. So, she's like, some things are true and some things aren't.
Some things are just funsies.
Yeah, so she claims to have gotten picked on a lot in school because she was a little white Jewish girl and with a bunch of exotic-looking, beautiful people.
I mean, I kind of believe that. Either that or she was, like, drug aside to be taken pictures of. Like, she was a...
But she also... A lot of people said that she was pretty popular, so who knows. But in high school, one of her librarians, I guess, like, saw her get really interested in musical theater and things. So she got her tickets to see like a musical that came through or something. I can't remember the musical or like the circumstances or whatever, but I just read it in a book and whatever. But so I don't know how true it is or whatever, but I thought it was interesting that her librarian got her tickets to see it, and it kind of changed her life. So when she came back, she's like, holy crap, I got to start like this little girl group, kind of Andrew Sisters type situation.
Innocent. It was cute. It's a little creepy to have one of your teachers being like, I got you tickets to this thing because you seem interested in this thing.
I don't know. Maybe she was picked on, and maybe her teacher was like,
I feel bad for you. Maybe this is an outlet for you, and that would be nice. Because
my son's teacher is very giving to him, and I don't find it creepy, but, you know, I don't know. So maybe, I don't know. I guess it depends on the circumstance.
I can be very cynical in my views of some things, though, so.
Yeah. I'd be like, sweet, thanks! Boop. So, it changed her life. She came back, and she started a girl group, kind of Andrew Sisters-esque, with a couple of her friends.
Adorable.
Yes. I can't remember what they were called. I tried to look it up, and I just couldn't remember. So, she graduated high school in 1963, and she told her parents she wanted to be a movie star, and her dad hated it. Her and her dad did not have a good relationship. They did not. Her mom was like, yeah, do it, because she loves Hollywood.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, sweet, yeah, do it. Her mom was incredibly supportive. But her chance finally came when Hollywood actually came to Hawaii when they were casting extras to be in a film called Hawaii.
Man, Hollywood, you're getting...
Very clever. But the 60s and, like, surfing and, like...
Oh, of course. I mean, like, did it have Elvis in it?
No, it was actually a movie about... war.
Oh, because I was like, did it have Elvis and Annette Funicelli in it?
Funicello.
Oh, yeah, because mom always called her Funny Cello.
So she played a wife of a soldier, I think, is the storyline. I think that's what happened. I think she played the wife of a soldier, and she was supposed to basically just be like, bye.
But she's Bette Midler.
But she did really, really well, and they wanted her to come back and actually do more than just that scene. So... they wanted her to shoot in Hollywood. And by 1966, she was in a movie. So she was not starring in the movie, but she had more than just that scene. So she was in Hollywood filming the movie. And she was like, well, I'm in the landlocked states now. I might as well go to New York City and be in Broadway.
Oh, that's cool.
Her and this friend she met while doing the movie were like, let's fucking go to New York City and do Broadway.
We're going to do Broadway. Let's stop doing movies because
it's... she likes singing more than she liked acting, really.
It's so funny. And it's like this with us all the time, but like your person is like the same person but opposite of my person.
Really?
It makes so much sense. Yeah. It makes so much sense.
Yours likes acting more than...
Wait till we get there.
So anyway, she goes to New York City and like... not immediately, but pretty freaking soon after she gets there, she gets a pretty good role in Fiddler on the Roof. And she's, like, working pretty steadily. And she gets a decent place in, like, Greenwich Village area. And her sister Judy comes from Hawaii to come and visit her. And so she's there in 1968. She comes to visit. Judy's there walking around. Bette's doing the show. Bette's like, go on home. I'll meet you there. Judy's walking past an underground, like, parking garage. Motherfucker flies out, pins her against a wall, kills her immediately, fucking dips, drives away.
He just drives away?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Basically disembowels her.
Just, like, cuts her in half and is like, oh, fuck.
Yep. Almost unidentifiable. Take her to the morgue. Bette Midler has to identify the body.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so that's how her sister died?
Yeah.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a downer.
So there's the death part. Well, there's like a little bit more death, but like not like that one.
That's a death.
I mean, there's some other like downer so she deaths, has to but be I kind of breeze over.
Yeah, but I'm like, she had to go and like identify the body.
Yeah, she had to like... up. Yeah, so she's like, I'm doing Fiddler on the Roof. Bye, sister, I'll be right home. If I was a rich man. Well, she wasn't singing that part because that'd be weird.
No,
but...
that would be weird. Like, what part did she get in Fiddler? I'm the Fiddler.
She's actually the Fiddler. No, she, So, yeah, so she went and she identified the body and she had to call her parents in Hawaii and
be like, oh, say, you know how I told you New York City isn't scary? Sister's dead. I mean, that's New York City in the 70s?
68.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, her parents were probably terrified sending their daughter to New York City and having the other one live in New York City.
Yeah.
It was, like, the worst possible outcome.
So her dad was still pissed off at Bette for this, you know.
It was her fault. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
She was there to visit you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But her, you know, she's still really trying to impress her dad. She's like, but I'm in a Jewish play. I'm still impressing you, right?
Right? I'm doing something, right?
So there's the sad part. Yeah. Fast forward. 1970, I believe, is the year she begins to start. She began performing, I think it was Hotel Astoria. In the basement, there was a bathhouse. The Continental Gay Bathhouse.
Yay!
It started out very, very small. Just her and, like, a pianist. A 12-inch pianist.
That joke never gets old.
She began performing there in the bathhouse, and the guy who hired her basically hired her to just she was like, oh, you know, this doesn't really make me feel uncomfortable, and he was like, it's just kind of background music and whatever. But she was never a background music kind of person.
No, she would be.
And the fucking men loved her,
right?
Because she was Bette Midler. Because
she's Bette Midler.
And she's, like, got her tits just, bah, blah, 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 and they're just like, fuck yeah, love fucking it. Love you.
Love it.
So, it began to grow, and so, you know, the men were starting to bring their friends, and the memberships were starting to go up, and,
ooh.
And
they had memberships? At like a,
it was basically like a gym, sauna, spa kind of thing. It was a bathhouse. So it was like a members only type of situation.
But it was like DL gay.
Very. Yeah. You had to be in the know to get there.
It was like a very, very prestigious application process.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It wasn't a, like, you had to know people to get in. It was like a membership type of situation. But so anyways, so she hated her pianist.
Okay.
And she was like, you're just not growing with me. The show's not what they want it to be. I need more showmen. So she got a new pianist and she got a couple other musicians, like a small horn section, because it was still a bathhouse. Right. You know what I mean?
You're not going to get like a full on Broadway.
Right. You're not, it's not going to be like a huge show or whatever. Right. But she wanted a show. So who was her pianist? Who was her composer? Who wrote songs with her? Barry Manilow.
That's so great. I love that so much.
They became best friends.
Oh, I love it.
Best friends. As a matter of fact, well, I'll get to it later. And she also was like, I need to have a writer help me write some comedy bits, too, because I want it to be a show.
Right.
Who became a writer? Bruce Vilanch. Do you know who Bruce Vilanch is?
No.
Okay. He's like a bigger guy. If you used to watch, like, VH1, you would know him. Hold on. I'll show you a picture.
Oh, God. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know who
Bruce
he is.
Bruce Vilanch.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was, like, her comedy writer.
Gotcha.
And,
God, he's been around for fucking forever.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of just a kid when they met him.
Yeah. He would have been, like, 18 at the most.
Oh, yeah.
And this is in, like, 1970.
1970. Yes.
God, so, forever.
So she starts doing this, like, massive show, basically. So people are telling their friends, and this is New York, 1970. It's starting to get huge, right? So eventually, it started to grow so huge that Mick Jagger and his wife, Bianca Jagger, are starting to come in there.
And it is like little bathhouse.
David Bowie starts coming
in. That's amazing.
And so lines are going out the door. Celebrities are trying to get in. And it's gaining a lot of traction. So this actually gets the attention of the producers at The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, which is where she gets booked, and America falls in love with her.
That's awesome. That was like
Johnny Carson fucking falls in love with her. He is obsessed with her, which is why she's on there, like,
constantly.
All the time.
Yeah.
From that point forward. That was the summer of 1970. So, that quickly.
So, it was just, like, overnight.
Like,
well, when you've got, I mean, like, that's the thing. When you've got it, you got it.
Yeah. 1972, she, with producing help from Barry Manilow, releases her very first, like, studio album. So she hadn't even released a studio album yet.
In 1972. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she had already been on The Tonight Show. She had already had Mick Jagger seeing her in a bathhouse.
She didn't have the album yet out.
No.
Not yet. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so funny. There are a lot of parallels.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Barry Manilow?
No.
Because that seems like the parallel.
Yeah, no, it's not the man. It's the Hello.
That seems like the suit that would be the parallel image. Anyway, so they released this first studio album, Divine Miss M, which gives her the nickname that sticks with her still to this day. She also has other alter egos, Dolores DeLago, which is a mermaid, who comes out in a wheelchair because she can't walk in her fin.
I think I've seen her do a number or two to that. Yes. I think she hopped into the middle of the stage, yes, if I'm not mistaken.
She can't move. So she's either wheeled in there or she does this number with Dolly Parton also. Islands in the Stream, they sing it together. And it's fucking hilarious. And then she has another, and I can't remember the name, but she's basically like a crazy bag lady, but she like loves life so much. She's like swinging around. She's like wearing a bunch of like baggy clothes, and she loves life though. Mm. She's great. So this is kind of hopping in time, but it's still like in the same time. So like in 2017, she actually came out saying on her birthday day. So December 1st in 2017, she said, "Hey, in honor of my birthday, I'm coming out and telling you guys that I was sexually harassed by Geraldo Rivera, in my bathroom when he was trying to interview me. Him and his cameraman touched my tits in my bathroom while I was on Poppers, is what they were called. And in his book in 1993, he claims that I was shoving my tits in his face and that he was at my mercy."
Ugh.
And yeah, he still has yet to apologize.
Yeah. Still has yet to even acknowledge the fact that he fucking did it.
No, he claims that she did it. He was coming on. She was coming on to him.
Mm-hmm. And putting her tits in his
face. She's very much an advocate to women who are like sexually harassed and things like that. So at that time, she's getting all this traction and stuff. So this scumbag guy is taking advantage of her.
Yeah.
And at that time, he was a big deal, you know. Right. And that fucking mustache. That fucking mustache.
That fucking mustache.
God damn it. Also in the early 70s, the 70s were fucking good to her. She also played the acid queen in The Who's Tommy, which is the very first professional production of The Who's Tommy. Oh. She was actually supposed to play it in the film version, but it eventually went to Tina Turner. Both are really good. The role was actually based off of Bette Midler. Because they saw her and they were like, holy shit. She's a cartoon character. Basically.
I mean, she is kind of a cartoon character.
Like, they saw her and they were like, she's a fucking cartoon character. She looks like a comic book. You know, her hair was big.
Oh, yeah. She had that huge curly hair.
And she was, like, this tall. She's, like, she's only, like, 4'11".
And she's still bigger than life.
Yeah. So, in 1979, she starred in her very first film, The Rose.
It took her until 79.
They wanted it to come out way sooner. They wanted it to come out way, way sooner. The reason that it did not was because Bette Midler felt it was extremely inappropriate for it to come out sooner because it was loosely, quote-unquote loosely, based off of Janis Joplin's life.
Oh.
And they wanted it to come out the year after Janis died.
And you're like, that seems a little
like overdose and all. And she was like, don't you think that's a little fucking inappropriate?
Right. She just died.
Yeah. They wanted to cash in on her death.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to do that. So she's like, I'll do the movie. And if you really want me to do the movie, you'll wait until I say. So this whole time she had been with an extremely abusive, mentally abusive manager. I can't remember his name, but he was a fucking asshole. And she was with him for years and years and years. Anytime she would date somebody, he would be like, you shouldn't be with them. Like, just very mentally
like
abusive.
Like, controlling for no reason.
Yeah. And she always liked to show her tits on stage.
Because, like, yeah, why not? Because
she's fun. And she was like, I'm going to give everybody weed before the show. And, like, she just wanted to have a good time.
She's so much fun.
She just wanted to have a good time.
Yeah, I love it.
And he was just such a fucking dick. Just such an asshole. And he was mentally abusive. Like, you could see in pictures of her at that time. Anytime he was near, she would just be like, you could see it in her face.
Mm.
Like, you could see, like, and, like, when she would come off stage after showing her tits, like, she's having a great time, and she's like, meep, you know? And it wasn't like she'd be, like, shaking him around like us.
She'd be like, bloop.
She'd be like, boop, and then put them back, you know?
Because she... But, I mean, like...
And he would be like, that is so skeezy. Like, why would you do that? You're so trashy. Like, and she'd be like, why the fuck? Who cares?
Yeah, fuck you. I am trashy. Yeah. Deal with it. Like, she's call me whatever you want. She's I'm a like, woman my favorite, that gets to do whatever I want.
My favorite, like, store to shop at is, what is that place? Something of Hollywood's. What is it?
Frederick's of Hollywood.
Frederick's of Hollywood.
Yeah. Honestly, just go fuck yourself. Yeah, she's I'll be like, as trashy as I want.
Like, I want to wear the tightest clothes I can. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. If I had a body like hers, I would, too. Anyways.
I love being trashy.
I do, too.
I'm such... I mean, like, I am a...
Oh, did you know who was one of her backup singers?
Oh, my God, who?
What's her name that plays Peg Bundy?
Oh, my God! Are you serious?
Yeah!
Catherine Segal.
Yes!
I love her. Yeah! I am such a Peg Bundy.
Yeah,
I'm
I know!
I'm a Peg Bundy.
Katie Segal was one of her backup singers. Katie Segal.
Yes. Oh, God. No way. Yeah. I didn't know that.
She was a harlot.
What? Wait a minute.
During her A View from Abroad that I was just talking about during that tour. Anyway, she dumped him during this time. She dumped this stupid asshole, and after she dumped him, he went to a hotel room and tried to kill himself. So, okay, so she had a little bit of a rocky time after she let go of him, because as much of a shithead as he was, he, like...
Did a good job. Which is why she was with him for so long, right. When he was a shithead.
Yeah. Got like, it. He booked world tours, and he booked the movie, and he did all the good... Like, he did the good, but he did the shit to her brain. You know what I mean? So, anyways. But she got signed on to do one of her live shows in Pasadena and have it filmed by somebody famous, but I can't fucking remember who it is. So if you really care, you can look it up.
Okay, so it was a live show that somebody famous filmed?
Mm-hmm, and it's called Divine Madness, if you really care.
Okay.
She was really fucking sick, but she signed a contract, so she couldn't get out of it.
She was like, I gotta do it, even though I'm really fucking
sick.
She
was really sick.
And then people will be like, oh, she was so terrible on this. Like, she was on her deathbed.
Well, not only that, but so the basement of the venue flooded. She had somebody put roofies under all the seats of the patrons.
What?
She wanted them to get high. I told you. She really liked people to have a good time.
But, like, wait. Roofies aren't, like, a fun drug. Roofie is a knock-you-out drug.
She wanted them to be chill.
I mean, I guess if you don't overdose somebody and they know they're taking roofies...
She told them.
It might be a different kind of thing. But I don't know what roofies do to you other than just, like, knock you the fuck out. Like, make you immediately... knock the fuck out.
She didn't tell him.
she was because like Oprah Winfrey. She was like, look under your seats. Look under
everybody
your seats. You get a roofie and you get a roofie and you get a roofie.
Either way, she didn't tell him because she was like, I'll get arrested.
So they just stayed there.
Yeah, because she was like, oh, fuck, we're filming this one. I forgot. I don't have a manager. I'm not going to get bailed out this time.
Yeah, I'll have someone to just get me out of
Anyways, it's called Divine Madness. I hear that it was really awful.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I've never seen it. But just before that, she had, like, kicked all of her harlots out. She got new harlots. She got, like, the harlots were her backing vocalists, right. By the way. But her stage show was always insane. Like, she had, like, this giant high-heeled shoe that had steps on it that she would walk down. And, like, it was, like, insane. She had, like, a giant horn section. Like, crazy. Crazy town. Later on, the 80s came, she was asked to record a comedy album. This is around 83-ish. She was asked to record a comedy album, and it's during this recording that she met a crazy German guy, which she thought was hilarious because she instantly fell in love with him. And she thought it was hilarious because she's Jewish and he was German. And she's like, isn't it hilarious that we like each other so much when your kind killed my kind? Isn't that funny? Anyways, his name is Martin von Hasselberg.
Hasselberg.
It was a whirlwind romance, and they ended up getting married after only like a few months or weeks or something in 1984. And they're still married.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. That's really cool, though.
Yep. Still married.
And who is he? He's just a guy.
Comedian.
He's a comedian?
Yep. It was two guys. It was him and another guy, and they went by the same name. Like, literally, they both had the exact, like, not Martin von Hasselberg, but they went by, like...
Man! Two Martin von Hasselbergs, and like, I would go see that.
It was, like, Kevin or something. Like, I don't know. They both had, like, such a normal, like, they were, like, the Kevins or something. Like, something stupid or weird. And then they had their daughter, Sophie, in 1986. In between those years, though, she was like, I want to focus on family, but God damn it, do I care about this world and the people in it. And I want other people to, too. This is exactly how I wrote it. And I think I should sing in We Are the World.
Okay.
So in 1985... She helped sing We Are the World for Live Aid.
You're just like, and I should do this.
God damn it, I feel like other people need to care about this world.
So I'm going to sing in Live Aid.
You want to know something else that's really weird about Live Aid?
What?
And Bette Midler?
What?
For some weird reason, her and Jack Nicholson sang a song together at Live Aid.
Jack Nicholson?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh,
that's good.
I don't know why, and I can't find it anywhere. Yeah,
that makes me sad. I hate when stuff like that comes up, and you're just like,
I know.
Trying
I want
to
know
out.
What song it is. I need to find it. But then they announced a band, and I don't know what band. It's probably the Boomtown Rats or some shitty-ass band like the Boomtown Rats. I still hate you, Boomtown Rats. I don't care that you put on Live Aid, and it was a Balmash show. You're still the Boomtown Rats. Anyways.
You're still the Boomtown Rats.
Bob Geldof can suck a fuck.
I don't know who the Boomtown Rats are. You are very angry about these people that I don't know who they are. If it makes you feel any better, their names are not notorious.
Bob Geldof is the creator of Live Aid.
Yeah, and his name did not stick out with Live Aid, so if it makes you feel any better.
Cool.
He is not well known.
Good, good, good. I'm almost done, I promise.
No, you're cool.
Also in that year, she signed a contract with Walt Disney Studios saying that she would star in so-and-so number of films made by the Touchstone side of the company. But by signing with them, she got her own production banner and team.
Yeah,
she called it the All Girls Production and teamed up with her pal, Bonnie Bruckheimer, and produced her first film, Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
I feel like I've heard of that film and I should probably watch it. Because I think it's
really,
a comedy. Like, it's a really
it's
funny
really
comedy,
funny.
Isn't it?
It's really funny.
I definitely feel like I should watch that one.
It is. It's very much a you movie. You should totally watch it. It's... eventually, 1988 is when eventually happens.
When eventually...
I put eventually, 1988.
the movie's called Eventually?
No. Just, I said eventually, but I just put 1988. I don't know why I didn't just say... 1988 came what is known now as the ultimate chick flick, Beaches, starring Bette Midler and Barbara Hershey. So they were not going to even make this a movie. Okay, this woman wrote this book called Beaches because of Bette Midler.
Really?
Yes. She wrote this book and she was like, I wrote this book. I'm giving you the only copy I have
of this book for you.
The main character is you. I don't even know who the other person is.
I just put her in there.
I just made her another character. Here you go. Read it. Tell me what you think.
Do with it what you want.
And so Bette Midler read it and was like, this is fucking good. Good job. Good job. This is a solid fucking film. And nobody wanted to make it because they were like, this is, like, sad. And women can't star in films that are sad.
Yeah, they're going to star together. It's a woman film where they're together and it ends
there's not
with
a
crying.
Man. There's, like, not a man in sight. Where the fuck are the men in this movie?
Where are the men? So does it pass the Bechdler test?
The what?
The Bechdler test.
The Bechdler test?
Bechdler.
Hold Bechdler?
On. The rule. It's a simple test which names the following three criteria. It has to have at least two women in it.
Definitely.
Who talk to each other.
100%.
About something besides a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, it's absolutely a Bechdler test movie.
Yeah.
I do want to watch it, although I typically stay away from movies that are going to make me cry because...
You're going to cry.
Yeah, I know. I typically stay away from movies that make me cry because I'm like, life really sucks sometimes, and I'm watching a movie to get away, so it's, for me, watching movies...
They're at the beach.
For me, watching movies is a lot of times like eating candy. Like, I know it's not good for
it's
me.
Like,
I know
it's like not... it's like practical magic without any of the fun parts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, like, I might watch it.
And not at all like practical magic. Except one of them has red hair and one of them has brown hair.
Got it. Just like practical magic.
This gave her, Midler, the biggest hit, Wind Beneath My Wings, which is great for weddings, funerals, and graduations.
I mean, it's true.
I have sang it at all three of those things. I'm not even kidding. I've sang it at all three of those things.
I'm pretty sure I've heard it all at all three things. I'm almost positive.
Was I singing it at all three of those things?
No. It's also good for, like, middle school dances. I don't know if you guys know this. It's a really awesome slow dance.
Since 1988?
Yeah.
It also won Midler her third Grammy, got her a number one on the Billboard Top 100, and achieved platinum status. 1992, Bette was the first choice as the lead for, get this, Sister Act.
Okay, no, I totally see that, though.
Right?
Like, I've seen the movie.
But she's Jewish.
Oh, fuck.
But so is Whoopi Goldberg.
Is Whoopi Jewish?
Yeah, she's a black Jew.
I did not know that she was Jewish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason that people didn't gawk at it like they would have gawked at Bette Midler is because she is a black Jew.
Right. Yeah.
Like, people wouldn't have been like, no, I absolutely see the, like, parallels and how she would have been good in it. I think Whoopi's great in it. I do love Sister Act. It's been years since I've seen it. I don't know if it's going to hold up if I watch it again, but I did love Sister Act so much growing up.
Wouldn't that be weird? But the reason she actually didn't accept it was because she was super depressed because lost 1 trillion friends, but she didn't actually lose 1 trillion friends. That's a slight exaggeration. To the AIDS epidemic recently, she had lost, like, a bunch at once.
Oh.
And then she also had just performed that same year to Johnny Carson for his final show.
So she was just having
a really rough year.
Rough year.
She did win an Emmy for that final show, though, for Johnny Carson. She sang, "Make it one for my baby and another for the road."
Sorry, it was the look you gave me after you finished
that. It's good,
that.
Though, right?
Huh? Beautiful, beautiful. Uh-huh. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was really lovely. So but it good. Was the look you ended it with that made
so
me laugh.
Good, right? it was really also good. The way I sang it was also so really good. Bad.
No, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was lovely.
And then I put, "It made everyone cry forever."
They haven't stopped crying
They're
yet.
They're still crying.
They are still crying.
People
the only
are
reason
still
you're not crying.
Crying
right now is that you have not seen it.
And I just was born. I was just born. Then I put all this in capital letters, so it must be important.
Okay, I'm listening.
Thank God, though, she recovered. Oh, it is important. Thank God, though, she recovered because in 1993 she starred in the damn classic Hocus Pocus along with Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathie Najimy, who were huge fans of hers and had no idea they were going to be in a film with her.
They didn't know. Oh my God, I would lose my fucking mind.
They had no idea.
And it was Hocus Pocus.
Uh-huh.
Such a good film.
So they were huge fans. Both of them were like,
hey, that also passes the Bachelor test.
You're right.
It's about women talking to each other. It doesn't involve a man.
That's a classic, goddamn.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
Now, every year, Bette Midler hosts a Halloween party that she calls Hulaween, which benefits the New York Restoration Project, which I'll talk about in a little bit, where she typically dresses as Winifred. I will not list every award she's ever received, but I will list one because it seems important.
Okay.
She did get the Women in Film Crystal Award, which honors an outstanding woman who, through their endurance and the excellence of their work, has helped expand the role of women within the entertainment industry.
That's a good one, right? Yeah, that's a great award. Absolutely.
I felt like it was more important than saying, like, she won an Academy Award.
I know. I did the same thing with mine, as I was like, I'm not listening.
That's too much.
You know that she won a lot of fucking awards.
Yeah, it's too much.
Like, they're absolutely...
Look how I spelled Queen.
Queen.
She performed for Queen Elizabeth II, which is the current queen.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
It's not the dead one.
No.
In 2009 and sang In My Life by the Beatles and dedicated it to her mom and dad, who had both passed away, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mom from cancer, dad from, I don't know, something. But she tried to make it up to her dad. She tried.
That sucks, because I think a big part of it was probably her sister's death, and it was nothing that she could have done anything about.
Yeah, and her brother is mentally handicapped as well, and I think that she tried to assist them with money and things,
monetarily,
but,
and
you know, her not being there, I think, also was a thing that was, like...
I mean, and it also could be, you know, like, maybe her father was just really bad at explaining how he... truly felt, and that, you know, can cause a rift that's not actually there.
Well, she also thought that her being on Johnny Carson would kind of make him like her more, because she was like, oh, maybe if I appeal to his age group with being on Johnny Carson.
But then at the same time, it's like, also, she's... I mean, I kind of feel her on that, because I'm like, but also you show your boobs on stage. So, you know, you're...
It's hard. I know, because my dad certainly wouldn't come and see me.
Yeah.
You know.
No. My parents have tried to come and see me, and then it's like, and I'm
My seeing, mom has seen me, but my dad, well, I would never.
Not like, my parents haven't seen me, Deep or Less, but they saw my most recent band that I'm in, and I say fuck a lot, and it's really upsetting to them.
But she also sang Baby of Mine from Dumbo, and every time I hear it, I'm like, I get a little weepy.
I can't watch Dumbo. Too sad.
Yeah,
too
I get a little weepy. Much.
Nope.
It was announced several years ago that Bette Midler would play Mae West in a biopic about her life, and it still hasn't happened, and I'm super upset about it.
She would have been an amazing Mae West.
I know.
Such a good Mae West. Like, a perfect Mae
picture
West.
Picture it. Picture it. Picture it.
Oh, I'm picturing it.
I play a young Bette Midler playing a young Mae West.
I love it. This is all exactly right.
Right? It's all falling into place. It's
perfect.
I do a Mae West burlesque number.
You do.
I know. Yeah. Like, put it into motion. You guys. I don't know who you guys are, but do it.
Who are you guys?
I don't know, but hurry up and make it happen. But I'm not famous yet, so it needs to like hurry up and happen. Maybe that's what it's waiting on.
It's waiting for you.
That's right. That last piece. In 2017, she began playing Dolly Gallagher in the revival of Hello, Dolly! On Broadway, and it was announced this past April that she will finish out the entire revival, so who knows how long that will be.
That's pretty amazing, though. How old is Bette Midler, though?
Let's see. She was born in 45? 70?
She's 70.
She's gonna almost 75.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's gonna be... Good. She's 70.
Also... That makes so much 74? More sense, an older woman playing that part rather than when my woman did that part.
Yeah.
She was, like,
why?
20-something.
That's and I remember dumb. I remember that.
I know. I was like,
I've watched it, and I liked it.
Right. It's good. Fine. You got, like, the hottest musical star at the time. Okay.
Okay.
But to call her a freaking spinster at that age, I was like,
meh. Okay. She does a lot of charity work as well. Some of this is really nice. Some that she's involved in is Adopt a Highway, which we see signs on, like, every fucking highway. The one that she lives on in Hollywood is her highway.
Aww.
She's like, if I'm going to live on it,
I'm gonna
keep it fucking clean.
Oh, my God. The Simpsons made a note about
that.
Yes,
they did.
She was on the side of the street cleaning
it.
And they, like, did something, and it pissed her off, and she threw the can.
Yeah.
And that's great.
That's her. Yep. And as I mentioned earlier, she does the Halloween thing, which benefits the New York Restoration Project. She actually founded the New York Restoration Project in 1995.
That's awesome.
So what that is it's a nonprofit organization with the goal of revitalizing the neglected neighborhood parks of economically disadvantaged neighborhoods in New York City. It offers free in-school and after-school environmental education programs to students from high-poverty schools. And then after 9/11, she established programs run by the foundation that helped wounded service members and their families by providing them resources, including custom homes. So, like, if they were, paralyzed or if they lost a limb or something.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And one of these programs helped service members recovering from trauma, injury, and loss. So sent them to, PTSD clinics and things like
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Also, ever since the first Gulf War, she goes to the USO on bases to show her gratitude to military members by serving meals just before deployment. She's released 14 albums and has been on 60 TV and film roles and has been nominated for a billion awards and won a lot, especially for the Rose. Some sailor. She's also a guest reader on the Beastie Boys audiobook. My husband told me that as I was leaving today.
Like,
he's like, hey, you have to add this note to your Bette Midler notes. I'm currently reading the actual book. It's fucking huge. And I guess there's like a billion guest readers in the audiobook. Like, Steve Buscemi's on it. And... Let me see who
I would love to. So right now the audiobook I've got in my car is I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Oh.
Which is
so good.
So good and also horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so here's just a few. So there's Elvis Costello, Kim Gordon, Steve Buscemi, Amy Poehler, Will Ferrell, Spike Jonze, Rachel Maddow, Jeff Tweedy, and Bette Midler. That's just a few. There's more. Nas.
That's amazing.
And then my last note is she hates Trump and loves when people call her a bitch.
Oh, I feel her on that.
That is Bette Midler.
She's
that is my doppelganger.
Awesome. Yeah.
That is my doppelganger.
It's pretty cool. She's pretty fucking awesome.
And I love her. She's controversial.
She is controversial. And she doesn't give two fucks.
She does not. She does not. And and fun fact. So she does hate Donald Trump, but she was in the First Wives Club with Diane Keaton and Goldie Hawn. You know who else was in that movie?
Donald Trump.
Nope. Ivanka.
Was it? Oh, Ivanka was in it.
She was just a guest, but she was in it.
I see. And that's so funny because I said Donald because you would totally see him being in that movie.
Yep. Nope. Ivanka. She was just like a kind of like a guest appearance in there. But
well, because it makes sense in the movie premise that you would run into someone like Ivanka Trump in the 80s in New York.
It was early 90s, but yes.
Yeah. That's such a good movie, by the way.
I love that movie.
It's so good. Speaking of Goldie Hawn, I've been wanting to watch Death Becomes Her.
My favorite!
God, I love that movie.
I love that movie.
Okay, so who is your woman of this month?
So my woman of the month is somebody that I've only gotten to perform with a couple of times, but I know her from her web presence more so. So again, you may know her more than I do personally.
I've got to hang out with her quite a few times and she's pretty amazing human being.
And she fits this particular person, absolutely, I think, wonderfully. Very well. My person of the month is Shrimp Cocktail is her stage name.
Or Itty Bitty Twitty, as you know.
Itty Bitty Twitty is her. See, she even has alter egos.
Yeah, she's got all of her alter egos.
Yeah, that fit just like Bette Midler. So Bette Midler has her alter egos. She's got her mermaid and she's got, you know, the Divine Miss M. So there's Itty Bitty Twitty and there's Shrimp Cocktail.
Yeah.
So she's got her sea creature and she's got her country.
Her country twanger.
Her country twanger.
Oh my gosh. She's hilarious.
She is. She's so funny. She's a great producer mm-hmm. of shows. She is a Cleveland burlesquer. She is a great producer. She's a great performer. She's an award-winning performer.
Oh, hell yes.
An award-winning producer, yeah. Actually. She is just an amazing person. She's so funny. All of her posts on Facebook are, like, SpongeBob related.
Yeah.
She has a Mr. Krabs number.
It's
like,
really, really good.
And she sings.
And all of her numbers also, like, she does characters and she does
she commits.
Yeah, she commits. 100% commits to everything that she does. And she like will she will make a complete tomfoolery of herself.
She will.
And it works because
she does not give a single shit.
I've thrown everything into this and it's gonna be and funny women are some of my favorite women.
Oh my God, easily.
I love funny easily. Women.
I was gonna pick you for this but I felt like that was a cop out.
Right. I understand.
So I was like, you know, who's somebody that fits this? And I was laying in bed and I was like, fucking Shrimp.
She does fit it, though.
She fits it so fucking perfectly. So Shrimp Cocktail is my woman of the 2019. She is starting me off.
She is starting you off right.
She is starting me off right.
Oh, heck yeah.
And she is just, she's just great. And yeah. I think she is just...
She's
perfect.
Iconic. She's definitely one of those people that you're like, people are going to remember her for years because she's so iconic in what she does. Absolutely.
She really is. She really, really is. And I hope that this year I get to perform with her more.
Yeah, that would be great. That's a great hope for 2019 as well. Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. So we got like a little bit of resolution in there. Just a little bit.
Do you have a resolution?
I don't know. I have so much going on in my life for 2019.
You're getting married.
I'm getting married and we could be selling the house. Who knows?
What about you, Frankie? Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Perfect. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
You know, I do. I want to get my health in check. Mm-hmm. I need to get that situation figured out. Other than that, pay off my medical bills.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I do have for this podcast, though? We've already got one kind of situated.
Oh, and you know what? We hadn't even announced that.
We haven't. And that's what I was going to bring up here.
Yeah.
We, on January 20th, get to perform our very first live show.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't believe we're doing a live show.
I can't believe it. So early on in our career.
I know. We just started. And I do want to thank the multiple people that when it was asked online, do you guys know of any local, you know, podcasts that could be recorded live? We got a lot of people that said that they would like to hear ours live, which I was
so excited.
I was I'm just like aside from myself. It was fun. It was so good.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm hoping that that bodes well for us for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So if you hear anything about any sort of podcast festival or anything that you think that we would fit well with, please let us know. Again, if you want to hear us, or if you want to tell us about your badass women, again, where you can find us, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Revolution Rosies. You can email us at revolutionrosies@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us at Twitter at Revolution Rosies. We'll put it in our description.
Yeah. And in a description.
Because it is spelled all kinds of weird. You can find us.
Because it's Twitter.
It's Twitter, and they don't let us use multiple characters that
because
we need.
Because fuck you, that's why.
Revolution Rosies on Instagram. Revolution Rosies on Facebook. We want to hear about your badass women. We want to see your badass art. And,
Yeah, and we are very excited for our 2019 year with you guys. We are very excited to do our first festival. We're very excited to hopefully do more festivals. I think that should be a resolution that we do
totally
more festivals this year and produce more things about badass women. So, yeah, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Smear lipstick.
Raise hell. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
1 years. Oh, these popcorn ears. Corners? Are you saying corners?
Son of a shit. Okay. Anyways.